Manhunt that's airing at the moment is based on your memoirs. How true to life can we expect the series to be then?
Oh, in terms of the investigation and the investigation scenes that are portrayed, it's absolutely as accurate as we could make it. That was really one of my stipulations for getting involved with it at all. I wanted it to look and feel right, and wanted it to be a showcase, if you like, for the brilliant work that was done by my team when we were doing the investigation. So, it sort of took off as an idea to do something that was quite subtle and wasn't, full of car chases. And yeah, so we deliberately set out to make it something that was low key, that was subtle, but impactive in that way, not showing, car chases and smoking guns and shooting and fighting and shouting and table thumping, but just a real accurate portrayal of what it was like for this really talented team of police officers to put their all into solving, a very serious set of cases and taking a very dangerous man off the street so he couldn't harm anyone else.
I mean, I know for a fact that some of the clubs I went to, Levi Belfield was a bouncer at. We were impacted by this. And as a police officer, a detective, that will be something you're used to every day. But for especially people, our listeners, it was so close to home.
No, I mean, that's absolutely right. And you say we're used to it, but I don't think we are used to, essentially a safe area, like the area around sort of Twickenham, Richmond, Kingston. It's not, and certainly back then, really wasn't the sort of place where you expected things like this to go on. And we were very aware of the fact that this was one of those happily very rare cases where you needed to succeed, or we needed to succeed, because there was a real risk of somebody else coming to harm soon. This guy almost certainly wasn't going to stop until he was caught. And that's something that you see in fiction and in drama quite often. And really, this is showing what it was like to live that for real. And that was at the back of our minds. And personally, virtually every time the phone rang during that period, you were thinking to yourself as you picked it up, is this going to be the call to say that there's been another attack? So it was a real sort of palpable fear, both in terms of the community and the police officers.
Now, obviously, where the programme picked up, we see you come into it fresh. You hadn't worked on the Marsha McDonald case.
No.
Well, it looks to the audience like when you came onto it, it just looks so clear that the cases were linked. Did you find it hard to get people to see your point of view?
To a degree, yes. Because, people had investigated the other cases already, and certainly in Marsha's case, there was a good suspect, and I understand completely why he was a good suspect and why people thought that he was responsible. There's also a kind of a technical point, really, that if you link offences like this, it only really happens when you've got an absolutely incontrovertible link, like DNA or fingerprints between them. Because the kind of process is that if they're linked offences and somebody has an alibi or is otherwise eliminated from just one of them, then he's eliminated from the whole lot. And we couldn't be absolutely certain that that was the case because we didn't have that fingerprint. We didn't have that DNA profile. So that's why we came up with this kind of fudge almost of a linked investigative series where we said, OK, they may not be the same person that did them, but they're all so similar and they've all taken place in the same relatively small area. So let's have the same team investigate them all, because that will be the most sort of efficient way of investigating this whole series of offences.
It must have been frustrating because, as the viewers saw in the episode last night, you can't just go and arrest someone based on what you think they've done. You had to have that evidence. But at the same time, this is someone who could have struck again at any moment.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Kate Sheedy, he'd attempted to kill her. And how frustrating was it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fact of life that we need to be certain before we set, these very serious events into train, because, people who are innocent don't want to be dug out of their beds at 5 a.m. and taken to the police station for something they didn't do. So you've always got to make sure that you choose the right time. And it's difficult where you've got this pressure of other offences going on. And, you know, we'll see tonight in the final episode that even once that arrest was made, it still wasn't cut and dried, and we still didn't have enough evidence then to charge and to make sure that that we convicted him. So the investigative procedure went on for years, almost literally until the day we walked through the doors of the court for the trial. We were still finding pieces of evidence and piecing together the jigsaw, because that was the nature of this case, was that there was no forensic evidence. We had to just construct a circumstantial case and make sure that we had all these little building blocks of evidence that, when put together, created the whole picture. And you know, that's yet another reason why I thought this story was one worth telling, because the work done by officers to make that, and by a large number of officers, was just truly phenomenal.
And once you saw him, how certain were you that it was him that was committing the murders?
I think, you know, there was a degree of certainty very early on when we looked at the circumstances or the coincidences of his habits, of his background, of the intelligence as to what he was like, what people were telling us about him, about the vehicles he was driving. You know, everything fitted, and everything fitted into place and made him a very good suspect right from the start of identifying him, really. You know, certainty, I suppose, only really came by the time we got to court. We'd amassed all the evidence that we could. But I think one thing that's quite impressive is that there were 60-odd thousand documents, and you know, each one of those had some bearing on the case and had some piece of evidence. Out of all those pieces of evidence that we found, nothing ever was inconsistent with him being guilty. You know, we never found any piece of evidence which said to us, you might be on the wrong path here, that he might not be your man. We were perfectly happy by the time we got to court that we had the right man. And of course, the other thing that's important to that is that he was arrested and put into custody on the 22nd of November 2004. And from that day onwards, he's been in custody and these offences stopped.
I mean, the thing is, I think the general public can understand it takes time to build a case against someone and to arrest them, charge them, get them to court. You must have been feeling the pressure from within the police force to get a suspect jailed quickly.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, my team investigated scores of murders over the years that I worked with them, and there's always a degree of pressure to solve it, to bring justice for the family and of the victim, and to make sure that, you know, justice is done. But there was an additional pressure in this case because, quite unusually, it was a real prospect that we were going to have further victims, further murder victims, if we didn't catch him. And that's quite unusual, and that brings, you know, a lot more pressure. But the flip side of that is it gives you a lot more satisfaction when you succeed, because not only have we brought justice to some families, but we've protected lots of other families who would have suffered at his hands had he still been at liberty.
He never seemed to have any remorse. Do you think he'll relish in seeing something like this on television?
Yeah, I think there's kind of a danger. He is certainly somebody who thinks about his, you know, himself all the time. Yeah, it was one of the things that we had to balance when we were thinking about this whole sort of project of doing the book and the TV show. You know, he's the sort of person who gets himself into the public eye one way or another quite frequently. I think he likes that. And so to a degree, we were feeding that. And to a degree, you know, you had to think, well, is it worth doing it? On balance, we thought it was, because we thought the story that we could tell was one which was not only deserved to pay tribute to the officers who worked so hard, but was also one that, in a way, reassures the public that there are police officers like those wonderful ones that I led who are willing to make a real effort to make a difference. And there's no doubt that they did make a difference in this case. So I think, you know, on balance, it was a story worth telling. Levi Belfield will find a way to get himself in the public eye.
I mean, I love Martin Clunes, but he's not the what you would immediately think of as a police officer. We've seen him in Men Behaving Badly, Doc Martin. How did he come about?
Well, it was his the production company that his
it's his wife, isn't it?
That first picked up on the story and wanted to make it. She kind of privately almost said said from the start that she thought it would be a good role for him, but that he would have to be persuaded because he always said that he was not keen on playing cop roles. Once the script was delivered and once the whole kind of tone and idea of the drama was put to him, he decided it was right for him. And I'm so glad that he did, because I think he's done an absolutely wonderful job. People, you know, my wife and my family are telling me that he's got my mannerisms off to a T. Well, this is a man who spent like 8 or 9 hours at the most with me before we started shooting. And somehow in that time, he's managed to pick up on the sort of visual clues and the way that I speak. And he's just doing a really fantastic job and pitched it, I think, absolutely perfectly. And you know, again, it's not showy, it's not flash, it's not brash. It's just showing people going about their work quietly, diligently, and with utter dedication. And that's exactly what we wanted to show. Yeah.
And in one point last night, we saw Martin Clunes speaking to Surrey Police, trying to link the case back to Millie Dowling. But it seemed quite like he was having a tough job last night. Was that a difficult thing?
Yeah, it's always difficult to a degree, because, you know, not even just across forces, but between different departments or geographical areas within the same force sometimes. You know, if you've got an investigation that's somebody else's investigation, they're putting a lot of work and a lot of effort into it. They're going down, you know, the best lines of inquiry that they have. And to have somebody come out of the blue and say, do you know what, I think you should be doing something differently, you should be looking at this person instead, it was always going to have to be a bit of a sell. And I understood that. And I've got no kind of... I'd level no criticism at Surrey for the fact that we had to persuade them. I think it was the right thing to do, but they obviously thought it was the right thing to do to go down the line they were looking at. And you know, it was just something, one of those things that happened, and we got over it very quickly. And Surrey and my team had an excellent liaison thereafter. And you know, I think I'm sure right in saying that we contributed to each other's success. So, you know, in the end, it worked how it did and how it should work. But there was always going to be a little initial inertia to overcome.
OK, so last episode tonight, I'm guessing that yes. Levi Belfield is found. That was quite interesting where you found him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's difficult talking about the show because you wonder about the sort of spoilers, because everybody knows the story anyway. But it's just the show's about how the story unfolded. Yeah, he was found, he was arrested, and the show takes you up to the point of where he was charged. It doesn't deal with the trial and all the stuff that went afterwards, because that's in my book, but, you know, we were limited to 3 hours on television, so we had to kind of focus on the central themes. And he's there tonight. You know, as I keep saying, this isn't a show, this isn't a story about Levi Belfield, it's a story about an investigation, it's a story about a great bunch of police officers.
Do you want to give your book a plug?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I would enjoy doing it, yeah. The book's called Manhunt. It's released officially on Thursday, although I think there are a few copies knocking around somehow, because some bookshops open the boxes a bit earlier than they're meant to. It deals really with me from the start of being led onto the investigation, and then in great detail outlines the individual parts played by all my team and what they did to the collective effort. You know, I kind of held them together and signed the pieces of paper, but they did the work. They did the footwork. They wore out the shoe leather. And I think it's a great story for people who like police procedurals, if you like, you know, like to know how police do things. And it's also a tribute to them and to their hard work. And it goes all the way through until the day Levi's convicted of Millie Dowling's murder in 2011.
This story that came out recently about Levi Belfield, a dossier linked to a paedophile ring.
Yes.
How likely do you think that is?
I think it's extremely likely. I think we you know, the people that are mentioned in that report by the journalist and the social worker are people which I know he had connections to, and, you know, provably he was associated with those people. Provably, we know that he had tendencies towards paedophilia and to young girls. I don't know the detail of it, but, you know, I said many times, nothing surprises me with this man. You know, his criminal activities knew no boundaries, really. And I hope, and I'm sure that it will happen, that these allegations will be investigated, and not only for him, but in respect of other people who may have committed these horrible offences in the past.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Colin. That was great, finally to catch up with you after 15 years.
Yes, okay.
I can't believe how many years it's been, but I'm really enjoying the programme, and I think it's definitely a story that's worth telling.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoy the finish tonight.